that quite intriguing, you know? Like when you're not bowed, you can separate. But when you bow, you can't move that ring finger. And God says, I'm committed to you. I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. You know? And there's times that I'm trying to bring myself up, and God says, I want you, you know, for, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Here we are in Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read, it's not a long portion. We're going to read right through to Colossians 4 and 1. You'll recognize the scripture is inspired of God, but the chapter divisions and the verse divisions are not. That was a convenient addition done by scholars, and sometimes the division doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And you'll see what I mean in just a moment here. Colossians 3, verse 1, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That death there is that surrender. That's that bowing before God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. If you look at those two words, wrath, and if you are using the Blue Letter Bible app on your phone or your computer, you can verify that the words are not the same in the Greek. The word wrath of God is a different word than that which is used for, but now you must put them away, anger, wrath, verse 8. One is a divine characteristic. God says, I'm going to judge iniquity. And his attitude... His wrath towards that which is wrong doesn't change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What he's opposed to in the Old Testament, he's opposed to today. You know, and he it'll always cause the wrath of God to arise if we don't deal with those things. Verse 9, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. You've bowed. You've bowed your knee. You've confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Cilician, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Don't you dislike that verse? It's non-optional, you know. We'd appreciate it if you would forgive one another. You know, you must forgive. And God says, if you don't, I'll deal with you. Not the person that you're holding on forgiveness for. He'll deal with you, you know, which doesn't seem fair. Hello? You ever been hurt by somebody? You know, you want God to deal with them. He says, no, you got to forgive them, and if you don't, I'll deal with you. It's not how I wanted it to work. Anyway, verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Again, that's that thing here, that God's not going to separate from me. Everything else may go, but he won't. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you have been called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your hearts to God. verse 16, that first word, you know, that indicates something. It says let. Doesn't find, it doesn't say find or create. There's a deposit in you that is divine. It's there. And he says, now let it come out. You know? And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That's a huge statement. And whatever you do in word or deed. Have you ever done something or said something and you stand back there and you think, boy, that sure wasn't Jesus? We all blow this one. We really do. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. That is such a huge, you know, if you get nothing else today, get that. Then we go to a whole series of counsel that is given based on what we've just read. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. This is not a subjection to. It's not subservience. And in fact, one of the best notes on wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting the Lord. Lynn has a New King James Version Bible, the Woman's Study Bible, and one of the best notes on that verse of Scripture is actually written in that particular Bible. We need to remember that when God created everything and he looked at everything, he said it was good, and he looks at man and he says it's not good. Suck it up, guys. You know, and he brought all of creation before him, and there was not a fit helpmate. The giraffe was too tall, the hippopotamus was too heavy, the monkey was too silly, the platypus was just ugly. And so he put the man to sleep and took a rib off from his side, and he created the woman. And it's been whoa, man, ever since. You know, she's just whoa. And the word there for fit helpmate is the Hebrew word ezer. And when you look at that word, in the Hebrew, it means one called along beside to help with military strength and power. So the woman, in a way, is a foreshadowing or a picture of the paraclete, the comforter, the one called along beside to help, who comes with divine power and ability. But have you noticed that the Holy Spirit will not override your will? The Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, comes into your life, but he doesn't overrule your will. He submits to your will, and he only takes what you will give him. Well, that's the idea that's happening here. That the woman realizes, okay, God has given to man certain responsibilities and certain headships, and he's accountable before God for these things, and I'll make his life easy by waiting for him to make those decisions. And that's tough in the best of cases. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. There are several verses of Scripture there's Scripture that says the older women are teach the younger women how to treat their husbands, how to love their husbands. But you know, there's not a direct command that I have found. I may have missed it, and if you find it, let me know. But there's no direct command for the wife to love the husband, to respect him, to submit. But there's a direct command to men to love your wives. And I would suggest to you that no individual has trouble yielding to somebody, submitting to them, not being subservient or subordinate, but they have no problem yielding authority to somebody who will die for them. Someone who genuinely loves them. You know? And that's the command of the Lord. Children, we lost one. Oh, there she is. She's got her head in mama's lap. Children, obey your parents in everything. For this pleases the Lord. Did I hear amen? Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. 22, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, but as people pleases, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. This all ties back to verse 17, right? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? Whenever you do your work, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Verse 25, for the wrongdoer shall be paid back for the wrong that he has done, and there is no partiality. Chapter 4, verse 1, masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Father God, I ask that you would take this word, this living word, this word that became flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, that you would take these black letters on white pages and make them a living reality in our soul. Lord, that we would bend our knee before you, that we would submit to you and to your authority, knowing that all things in life will separate from us, but there's one that will never separate from us, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You're committed to us, even in the midst of our failures, in the midst of our weaknesses. And you are there, willing and ready, for when I bow my knee before you, to minister out through the Holy Spirit divine power and energy, determination and strength and wisdom, that your name would be glorified. Lord, I just ask that you would help by your Holy Spirit to bring these words to reality in us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. By way of introduction, just to remind you of the devotional last week, and we looked at the first 11 or so verses. Verse 1, seek those things that are above. Verse 2, set your mind on these things. And then in verse 5, put to death or slay that which is earthly among us. There's things in our life that we need to deal with, and there's none that are exempt. So that was the three major points from the devotional last week. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's a slight chance that in the future he might become a new creation. That's not what it says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's both a past tense and a present tense. You made a particular decision at a point in time in your past where you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and it happened then, and it is continuing to happen today, that God is continuing to work a new creation in you, because all these other things are going to separate, but Jesus will never separate from you. But if I choose to lift up myself, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. If I choose to lift myself up, then God doesn't separate from me, but I separate from him. He's there. He's waiting. And he wants me to come to that place of humility again and bend my knee and discover that even though all these other things leave, he doesn't. Okay? So there's a slaying that needs to take place in my life. There are some things that are just not worth having there at all. Okay? Philippians 2, 12 to 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Please note, there is no period there. Okay? This is not a works thing. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That my will becomes involved. I'm not passive in my walk. I have an active role in it. But I have this guarantee from him. For it is God who works in you to work for his good pleasure. So the whole thing is a position of attitude. Do I bow my knee on a daily basis before the Lord, or do I pridefully pick up my own will and purposes and desires and just have God as a ride along. And I have to deal with that on a regular basis. The idea of putting on our new self is dealt with in this entire chapter. And it begins with seek, set, and slay. So we continue from there. I need to acknowledge my need. Romans 5, 19, 10, and 12 read this way. Since therefore you have now been... Notice, please, the tenses. Since therefore we have now been, past tense, justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. There's a future time coming where God says, I'm going to judge things. I'm going to deal with it. Because they're totally contrary to my nature and my character, and I will not tolerate it any longer. You read Revelation, and the bowls of God's wrath are being filled up. And he's going to pour it out. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. Circumstances and situations that come our way are permitted by God. God says, I want you to know that I'll carry you through those. I'll bring you through. Take just a second to go back just a few books to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This isn't in your notes. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. If you're encountering difficulties, don't be surprised. Paul experienced them too. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. In our prayer time this morning, somebody prayed that. Someone in their prayer this morning, I can't remember who it was, maybe you remember. Eleanor, you just pointed. Mandy, okay. Had the power to raise Christ from the cross. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. That kind of ties in with Colossians 3 and 2. You know, set your minds on things above. Set your minds on what Jesus can do. You also must help. How? You help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Paul was afflicted to the point that he thought he was going to die. And perhaps you've had days where you felt that way too. But listen, it's God in you working to do according to his good will and purpose. He's going to bring you through. Amen? Yeah. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all sinned. I need to acknowledge that I needed the Lord. I needed the Lord because I was spiritually dead. Oh, I was vainly trying to find my concept of God out there. I got involved in various things. But God had to come to me. God had to call me out. God had to find me. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you were dead in trespasses and sin. Notice, that's past tense. If you're a believer in Christ, you are no longer spiritually dead. You're alive unto God. In which you once walked, I could add in my own translation, and periodically still do. Hello? How about you? Following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest of mankind. That's who we were. You know? And Colossians 3:1 says, if then you've been raised with Christ. And I have to answer that. And not just once in my life, but periodically, more than once during the day, I have to ask myself, are you really risen with Christ? And then start acting like it. You know? John 3:3, Jesus answered and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Christianity is to my awareness, the only faith that declares there's original sin. That all of humanity is dead in trespasses and sins. Others think, you know, you're okay. You can grab yourself by your bootstraps and pull yourselves out. You know, you have the power to choose. The scripture teaches you're spiritually dead and you're a slave to sin. I need to acknowledge that. I don't have the capacity to choose rightly until I accept Jesus Christ. And then I receive a new life, Christ in us, the hope of glory, Colossians 1:27. And he abides in us and with us, the paraclete, one called long beside help. I need to adjust my focus, Colossians 3:1-2. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. That's a daily happening. It's a daily thing. Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. 3, I need to agree with God. And that essentially is repentance. It's saying, this isn't right. You know, Mandy shared a verse this morning from Proverbs 3, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. But notice that it's lean not on your own understanding. Okay, in all your ways acknowledge him, and then he will direct your paths. You know, I think it's the fourth proverb that says, you know, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn neither to the right nor to the left, but look straight ahead. Yeah. So I need to agree with God. Colossians 3:5-6, put to death, therefore, whatever is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, covetousness, which is adultery. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. I'm looking for the return of the Lord, but let's be clear, that's good news for the believer, but it's not good news for the world. Because then judgment comes. And there's going to be a judgment. Colossians 3:8-9. But now you must put them away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander. Obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. There's a putting off that needs to take place. Very rarely have I ever showered with my clothes on. I said very rarely. I mean, there's a couple of times where certain things had taken place, and I wasn't about to throw my clothes into the laundry in the state that they were in. You know, so I got in the shower and got them washed off and got them off and threw them in the back of the tub and then continued to shower. I remember there was a brother in Ontario, and you know, Bible college doesn't prepare you for everything. He said to me, he says, John, have you ever done a funeral? You know, why would they teach you something in Bible college you're going to use throughout your ministry? I've never done it. He said, well, you come with me tomorrow. He said, I got to do this funeral, and you can observe, and I'll coach you and show you what to do. And it was a rainy day. This is in Ontario. This was north of Lindsay, And we did the service. He had me on the platform. I don't know why. I read one or two verses, but it was his way of kind of mentoring me. And then we went out to the cemetery, and it was a light drizzle, but it rained heavy. And he went to the head of the grave, and they brought the coffin in, and he's about to consecrate the body to the ground, and the ground gave way, and he went down underneath the coffin. I would suggest to you that he didn't send his suit to the dry cleaners in that condition. He probably rinsed them off. We had to take the casket off and, you know, lower the straps down, and he stood in the straps, and then we cranked it back up and got him out. And he says, "You're going to have to do the committal." I said, "I've never done one." He says, "Just do this." So I did that. And we were both riding in the hearse. And so he's in the hearse waiting for me, and I'm trying to sit beside him but not touch him because he was really muddy. And he looks at me, and he says, "Did you see that?" I said, "Everybody saw that." He says, "Don't do that." Got it. Yeah. So most of the time when I shower, I don't wear my clothes, but there's times you might need to. You take off, and you allow Christ to minister to you. Repentance is agreeing with God and turning to Him from our actions. There's a taking off that needs to take place. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Notice the tenses. As a believer, you have an inner capacity, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. And I suggest you compare that with John 1:12. "To as many as received him, to them he gave the right," the exousia, the power, the authority to become the children of God. Well, what gives you the right to become a child of God? The resurrected Christ living in you. That's what capacitates you. That's what makes you a believer. That's what capacitates That born-again spirit in you capacitates your soul to yield to the Lord God Almighty and to submit to Him. That it enables you to things that have been part of your life for years and years, it enables you to put them aside and to move into new dimensions of obedience and a walk with Christ that you haven't experienced before. So once we've done that taking off, then we attire ourselves. I attire myself with God's gift. The word attire, the verb to be attired, to be dressed in clothes of a specific kind. You remember the parable where the man was preparing the wedding for his offspring, and invitations were sent out. You know, "Well, I'm bringing in the harvest, and you know, I've got this and I've got that." And so he said, "Send his servants out to the highways and the byways and bring in whoever was willing to come." And one came in. He was invited in, but he came in with the wrong attire. Do you remember that? He was invited in, but he refused to change. And he was put out. You know, you can't be a Christian except you put off the old and you put on the new. And how can two walk together except they be in agreement? Jesus will always be with me. But he's not always in agreement with me. Do you understand the difference? He's there. And he'll be putting his finger on things. He says, "John, you need to deal with this." Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Most of the time, eventually, I try to get around to it. Hello? Okay. Philippians 2:12-13. We've already looked at this in the introduction. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God in you working to do according to his good will and purpose. God's there. He's desiring to help me put on the new character, the new man, the new self. Colossians 12:14. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Put it on. It's a decision. Bearing with one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Life is a choice, and I need to make those choices right. I had a lady in our fellowship in one of our churches. I won't mention Wayburn. I won't mention the person's name. Come in one morning, ask them how they're doing. They said, not very good. I got out of bed on the wrong side. I said, well, do us a favor. Go home, get back into bed, and get out on the right side. She looked at me. She says, it's that simple, isn't it? I said, it's a decision. You know, we need to decide. Amen? Who are we going to yield to? You know? Verses 15 and 16. And let peace. Now, again, that word let. There's an inner capacity in the resurrected Christ in you. But are you going to let it happen? Or are you going to resist it? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, so that to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. The capacity is there. I need to choose to let it. You know? I might get in trouble for this. I'm not sure. We'll find out later. My wife came up from downstairs the other day, and she said, did you turn the water off to the sink? No. Why would I do that? She said, well, I couldn't get the water run. I went down and lifted the lever, and it came out. There's a letting. What in my life is holding back what Christ wants to do? He's there. I haven't met anybody that perfectly lives out Jesus Christ yet. And I probably won't until we're in glory together. You know? That's not me, by the way. Sorry. Verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Giving thanks in everything is not easy. Really isn't. We've had some weird days in our lives where giving thanks wasn't easy. Then we're closing, and I'm just going to read these. I'm not going to comment on them. You can battle these through yourself. They're not easy, but it's the counsel. This is what God says. Listen, I want you to put on the new man. And part of the effect of the new man is it capacitates us to do this. Wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. I don't know how many here have had various positions, but you know, it always amazes me. We do a new hire, and they work really hard until they're through the probationary period, and then they became a different person. And you wondered, where did the one go that we had here 2 months ago? You know, because they want to get through their probation. You know, God says, don't function that way. Whenever you do your work, work heartily, as for the Lord, not for men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward, you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you're a wife or whether you're a husband or whether you're a child, whether you're a father, whether you're a bondservant, you're serving the Lord. Now, listen, folks, that is a new attitude for this world today. That's a putting on. You know? Hello? It really is. That is not a common attitude in the world today. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there's no partiality. And I want to emphasize here, he's not talking to unbelievers. This is a word to believers. You go to 2 Corinthians 5, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Not to the great white throne judgment. Your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we will all give account, according to Scripture, of that which we've done in the flesh as believers. So I need to learn to put off and put on. Because I'm going to give account. And I don't always sing, "Oh, happy day." Sometimes it's with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God in you working to do according to his good will and purpose. And then verse 1 of chapter 4. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. When we were asked if we would consider taking the pastoral role here, I said, at my age, I'm not sure if I want to get into the politics of church and that again. And I said, I'll tell you what, I'll be willing to serve as interim pastor. And then after a year, if you think I fit, if I think you fit me, we can talk about something longer. I have never, with the exception of Weyburn, I've never been in a situation where I was with a team of elders and deacons that were as amiable and cooperative as this group. I don't feel like I'm treated like a slave. And church politics can get really ugly. And we haven't seen that here. And I commend you. And the key is working with people that continually strive to put off the old and put on the new. And it's a decision. And you have that capacity every day to choose how you're going to do it. But the key has got to be, are you bending to the Lord? Because our own desires and our own hopes and our own wishes can all pass, but Jesus will never leave us. And I'll know that as long as I'm bowed before him. He won't leave me, but there's times I've walked away from him. I'm not saying I've abandoned the faith, but I've done my own thing. Hello? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day, and I just pray that this simple devotional would resonate in the souls of individuals here. That we would allow you, precious Lord, through the Holy Spirit, to put your finger on areas of our life that are not pleasing to you. And you don't do it in a judgmental, condemning way. You do it in a way that is restorative. You want us to come into the fullness of all that Christ has for us. And Lord, we just want to be your fit bride. You'll wash us and you'll cleanse us. You'll present us to yourself without spot or wrinkle. But Lord, I in my own life, I don't want to do it in a way that you have to really get the scrub board out and work hard on me. That if it came to the worst, it would be just a rent cycle. Lord, may your will and purposes be done in each one of us as we yield to you, as we put off the old and put on the new. Amen. Amen.